Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. Journey into Hate, another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If you're in a jam, you got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Dear Mr. Valentine, some dreadful shadow has come over my sister's life. From thousands of miles away, she cries for help. If you knew me, you'd understand how little help I can be alone. I'm turning to you because I can't think of anyone else. The trip will take a great deal of your time. Great deal of your time and may even prove fruitless. But I can assure you I'll make it worth your while. And it's signed, Janice Gibson.
I wonder what kind of letters we'd get, Angel, if our ad didn't say write full details.
Oh, I'd hate to think probably communiques in Morse code.
Yeah.
But Janice here doesn't sound like she's in a mental state for details.
Yeah, let me see that letter.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get something out of her over the phone.
Thousands of miles away. Wonder in what direction. Do I wear an Eskimo parka or just a thin coat of suntan lotion?
Hello, Janice Gibson, please. Miss Gibson, this is George Valentine. Well, say now, wait a minute. Don't get so excited. Leave on the Eudora. Now, have a heart. I have a business here. I can't just throw things in a knapsack and be off to Honolulu.
Honolulu? George, I know where we can get a very big knapsack.
Hold on, will you, Booksy? Miss Gibson, I'm afraid it's out of question. You see, I... Yeah, well, all right, now... Well, okay, there's no need to cry. Yes, yes, I believe everything you say about your sister, but... All right, you win, Miss Gibson. I'll be there.
Darling, don't you think you ought to warn the lady?
Oh, yeah. One last thing, Miss Gibson. Better reserve two cabins. My assistant will be along. No, I won't disappoint you. Yes, I got it, Pier 17. Goodbye. Hey, Brooksy, where are you going?
Well, don't be masculine, darling. If we're going to be leaving in a few days, I've got to get some shopping done.
Oh, no, I'm afraid this is really going to be a knapsack deal.
Huh?
Yeah. The Eudora leaves at 11 o'clock tonight. Oh, Stuart.
Yes, sir.
Which way is stateroom 209?
Straight down that corridor, sir.
It's going to take an ocean voyage to rest up after this mad rush.
Just one minute, sir.
Yeah?
I'm the ship's doctor, sir. I just heard you ask about 209. Friends of Miss Gibson's?
Well, yeah, that's right.
Sorry, is anything wrong?
Thank heavens she has friends aboard. This way. Miss Gibson isn't very well.
Well, I know. She sounded a little hysterical on the phone today, but
emotional strain may have something to do with it, but, I suppose you know she has heart trouble.
No, we didn't.
I gave her something to quiet her down. When I came back later, she was in there sobbing. She wouldn't open the door. I had to go and get the key.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, now, Miss Gibson, try to pull yourself together. Your friends are here to see you.
Friends? Oh, Mr. Valentine.
Sure. We made a deal, didn't we?
Oh, it's getting late. I was so frightened. I thought you'd changed your mind.
Well, we're here now, and there's nothing to worry about. I'm Miss Brooks.
Oh, I'll be all right now, Doctor.
Well, I'm sure you will. I'll arrange with a doctor in Honolulu to keep track of you, see that you're sure to get digitalis whenever you need it.
Thank you.
And mind you, young lady, I don't want any more emotional shenanigans from you.
I've made arrangements for both of you, Mr. Valentine. You just have to see the purser.
Well, never mind that now. You feel up to talking?
Oh, I must explain.
Okay. Suppose we begin with your sister.
Yes. Eileen's cablegram, it's somewhere here. Yes, in my...
Oh, well, don't get up. It's right here on the tape.
Eileen is my twin sister. We haven't seen each other in 4 years.
I see.
She went on a holiday to Hawaii and married an artist named Marcel Millet. They bought a tiny island not far from Honolulu, and they've lived there ever since.
I think this is the case.
Oh, let's see, Brooksy. This must be our secret, Janice, because I'm not sure this horrible thing has happened to me. And if it is, I couldn't bear anyone else knowing it. Please get here quickly. You're my only salvation. Love, Eileen.
I haven't told anyone else but you, and I had to do that. If I'm going to help her.
Yes, we understand.
Well, I'm not going to pretend I understand this message. Now, suppose we skip on to your sister's husband.
Well, I've never even seen a picture of myself. I've often wondered why she never sent me one, but as long as Eileen sounded happy in her letters, that was all that mattered. And this cable is so strange, and it's not like Eileen. She was always the strong one, never hysterical.
Well, now, Janice, I think maybe you ought to rest.
People always wondered about that difference in us, since we are identical twins. Oh, Mr. Valentine.
Okay. We'll have days to talk about all this. Good night, Janice.
Eileen isn't here, Mr. Valentine. I cabled her that I'd arrive under your door. Eileen's usually so punctual.
Now, it would take a magician to spot us in this crowd. Come on, let's get down to the end of the dock.
Here, hold on to me, Janice.
Johnny! Oh, God. There you are.
What? I beg your pardon.
Well, you might at least kiss me.
Please, don't.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Buster.
Well, you needn't look so shook, Jenny. I know I'm not the handsome specimen you probably expected, but you might try to bring yourself to kiss your brother-in-law.
Marcel?
What's that?
But don't be so taken aback, my dear. After a while, people get used to ugliness. Especially when they realize that very often it has compensating qualities, huh?
Oh, I didn't mean...
I know what you meant, but it doesn't matter. I must say it was the easiest thing for me to spot you. You look exactly like Eileen. It's uncanny. Oh, come along. I'll have someone take care of your baggage. Huh?
I hope you don't mind, Marcel, but I brought two friends along.
You, these people, your friends.
Mr. Valentine, Miss Brooks, I want you to meet Marcel Millet, Eileen's husband.
Hello.
How do you do?
I understand you and your wife have a whole island to yourselves. Hope there's room enough to fit us on.
Well, we weren't expecting visitors, but we'll make out somehow. Besides, as an artist, I'm grateful to have duty around me. Welcome to Hawaii, Miss Brooks.
Why, thank you.
Oh, wait, there's a Filipino chap over there who takes pictures of tourists. I'm sure Eileen would love to have one of you and me, Jenny. Huh? A memento of this happy occasion. Oh, Juan! Over here, quickly.
Where is Eileen? How is she?
Oh, she's waiting for you on the island. Wants everything to be just right for
you. Very nice picture, yes, sir. How many, please, Mr. Millet?
Oh, half a dozen, Juan. Just you and I, my dear, huh? Excuse us, Valentine, Miss Brooks.
Oh, sure.
Very good. All right, John. You smile nice for one. He makes beautiful pictures.
And with my arm around a beautiful lady, that makes us even, Juan.
All right, you hold still now. There, oh, that's fine. Very nice, dear.
Couldn't we hurry, Marcel?
Oh, immediately.
Well, John, very soon. You know when for pictures?
No, Juan. My wife and I will be in the island in a couple of days to show these people the sights. All right, everybody. My car is just over there, by the warehouse.
Thank you, Mr. Millet. You must be a happy man today.
Please, you've got to tell me. I can't wait any longer. What's wrong with Eileen?
In time, Janice. Then you can see for yourself.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Why put it off, Marcel? Is it something you can't talk about?
No, but Janice
has a right to know she's been so worried.
Apparently you do know your wife cabled her. You wouldn't be here.
Yes. I ought to know about the cable. I sent it.
You have no right to do that. You made me think all kinds of things.
I had to find some way to bring you here.
Well, couldn't you have used a few more words in your cable to be more specific? You didn't have to indulge your flair for the melodramatic and scare Janice half to death.
Unfortunately, what I said is the truth.
For heaven's sake, what's wrong with her?
Well, at the risk of being melodramatic, my wife imagines things, fanciful, grotesque things.
Oh, no.
As she thinks everyone is plotting against her, just waiting to kill her. Yes, she won't see a doctor, and, well, you are my only hope, Janice.
I see.
Yes, now, really, we must be going. As it is, we won't reach the island till after dark.
Thank you.
Easy, easy now. You can't see a thing when the landing light's off.
Okay, you better go first, Janice.
All right. Where's that tropical moon people write songs about?
Hiding tonight, Miss Wolf. I think we've got a storm coming up. Now, you just wait till I get on the top.
Hey.
Oh, it's just an overgrown Mongol Eileen insisted on bringing to the island. Lord knows we don't need any protection. There's just the two of us.
I should say you'd welcome the company.
Though I must admit he's devoted to my wife. But I'd prefer if he kept tied up. He's a vicious beast. Oh, the house is right up here.
George!
Oh, now what's wrong with her?
You can't mean that, Eileen. I think I saw her run around that side of the house.
Well, Marcel, don't just stand there.
Well, if she intends to hide, as she usually does, we'll never find us in the morning.
But we've got to do something.
Valentine, there's a flashlight on the porch in the back. You and Miss Brooks can look for her out there near the cliff.
Okay.
You come with me, Johnny, huh? But first I want to tie this Annie, my love.
Well, see, no matter what Millay says, the first thing we're going to do is get a light on in that house. Now, you do that, and I'll go around and get the flash.
Oh, couldn't we kind of do those things together?
No time, Angel. I'll make it snappy.
Oh, golly. Oh.
You'd better let her light that lamp. You might burn the place. This house is nothing more than an oversized thatch hut, anyway. There. You're pretty, aren't you?
Well, who are you?
That's my question to you. Why did Marcel bring you here? Are you one of those simpering ladies he gets off to see now and then?
Get away from me!
You know, he does have a strange fascination, that ugly Casanova. And if I thought you and he
I would hate to haul off and hit a stranger, but I could force myself.
Better listen to her, sister.
What?
The young lady's quite capable of taking care of herself.
Yeah.
Looks as though Marcel's decided to turn this place into a resort.
Now, look, I've been fumbling around in the dark long enough. Since you're not Eileen Millay, who are you? How did you get here?
Miriam Denton's the name. House guest, model. Lately, I've turned into a nurse for Marcel's mad wife. Want to know anything else about me? Ask him.
Well, George, what are we going to do?
Well, right now, Angel, we're going down to the boat landing and get my gun out of the luggage.
George, so gone.
I wouldn't mind that so much, Pussy. But that means there's something else missing, too.
Huh?
My gun.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. This weird little drama calls for us being permanent guests in this tropical paradise.
Return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. You know, in every town, when 5 p.m. rolls around, there's a big parade, a traffic parade of folks who are homeward bound. If you're part of this daily parade, and if your car has so little pep that you have to stay in the creep-along lane, better switch to Chevron Supreme gasoline. It's a high-octane fuel blended to put command performance in your car. You'll find Chevron Supreme commands speedy pickup at every green light, smooth acceleration on the open highway, and all the extra power to make your car great on hills. A premium quality gasoline, it also commands fast starts every time you use the starter. For Chevron Supreme is climate tailored, tailored to the different altitude and temperature zones between Canada and Mexico. So wherever you drive in the West, rely on Chevron Supreme to give your car command performance. Try a tank full tomorrow at a standard station or an independent Chevron gas station where they say, and mean, we take better care of your car. And now, back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. In answer to her twin sister's plea, Janice Gibson comes to you with a strange assignment, namely to travel thousands of miles to a tiny island just off Honolulu. If you have George Valentine's keen instinct, something about the whole journey bothers you. You see how right you were when you arrive at the island. You hear a piercing scream in the night. Janice Gibson's sister disappearing into the jungle.
Can anyone hear the storm out there? Does anyone care if my sister's out in it?
We all care. Very deeply, Janice. But we'll never find Eileen if she doesn't want to be found, huh?
Oh, I'd like to disagree with Millet, Janice, but I'm afraid he's right. You've seen what it's like out there.
Incidentally, Mr. Millet, what happened to the boat? And why did you leave Janice alone?
Yes, you asked me to, what, and never came back.
I thought it might be a good idea to circle the island. But don't worry, the boat is quite safe where it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's well hidden.
What's that?
Skip it, Buster.
I'm going to look for her.
Hey, Janice, stop. Listen to me.
No, no, let go of it.
Foxy, take her upstairs and stay with her.
Any one of the guest rooms makes no difference.
Come on, honey. You've got to think of yourself, too.
Think of myself and you.
I've got to get rid of that blasted dog.
What's the matter, Marcel? You seem nervous. You shouldn't be. You've got a gun. My gun, to be exact.
What do you mean?
It's missing from my luggage.
Valentine, I don't know what you're talking about. And I don't like your insinuation.
I'm not insinuating anymore. I'm going to find out the reason for everything that's happened.
There's only one reason. I was at my rope's end. The only person I could think of with Eileen was her sister.
Huh?
What happened tonight may have upset you and Miss Brooks, but I did not ask you to share in it.
Now listen to me, my friend, and listen carefully.
I have no choice. Why don't you hit me?
Don't tempt me. It happens that I want to bring things to a head because I have my own plans for tomorrow.
Really?
If I made a cup of tea, could I persuade you gentlemen to be civilized?
Here's your persuasion on Marcel here, Miss Denton. And while you're at it, you might persuade him not to let those fancy maneuvers with the gun and the boat go to his head.
What are you waiting for?
I didn't expect her to bring those people to change their plans.
But he suspects them.
You think I'm a fool? I know that. I've got to have a chance to think.
You wouldn't stop to think if you really loved me. You do, don't you?
What a woman. Love and murder in the same breath. I told you, Miriam, give me a chance to think.
George, did you see Janice this morning?
No, Brooksy, I thought she was still upstairs with you.
Well, I left her for a few minutes, but when I came back, she wasn't there.
Oh, I thought you knew, Mr. Valentine.
Knew what?
Miss Gibson went out with Marcel. Naturally, she's anxious to find her sister.
Well, isn't that something we're all going to do together?
I didn't know what your plans were.
Not much you didn't. You know darn
hey,
well...
Brooksy, come on.
Oh.
Hey, George. Well, easy. What's the matter, fella? What's bothering you? Well, we're going to go for a little walk.
What are you talking about, George?
Just what I said, Angel. Wait a minute. Hey, young fella, take a whiff of this.
What you got there, George?
One of Arlene's hangers. Yeah, and I think our canine friend here knows what I mean. Come on, boy, now we can go for that walk.
Coming back to this spot.
No.
But there's nothing here but the beach.
Wait a minute, hold it. There seems to be some kind of a cave in the side of this tomb.
Yeah, that's where he wants to go. Look at
him. Here, hold him, Angel.
Okay.
Well, I see if I can tear away some of these vines.
George, I don't know if I can hold him.
It'll just be a minute. I want to see if...
What is it?
Oh, good Lord. No, Brooksy, stay where you are.
Yeah. If this dog will only let me...
Give him, I'll take him. But don't go in there.
George, is it...
Eileen. A bullet in her head.
Oh, no. But George, last night she was alive, all somewhere by herself. Nobody could even find her.
That's where we were all wrong. Last night, Eileen was already dead.
But we heard her scream.
That was Miriam who put on that little act. She was also the shadow we saw disappear around the side of the house.
Oh. Well, what does Marcel expect to gain by all this?
He's probably turning that over in his mind right now. And that's why we have to find him and Janice before he has a chance to make another move.
So useless, George. There are so many places on this island he could have taken Janice.
Well, there's only one thing in our favor, Brooksy. Marcel has to make this piece of mayhem look like an accident. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, I know. Keep saying
it. Easy now, quiet, fella. Don't you see, Brooksy, he intends to pass Janice off as Eileen. He did it very successfully yesterday. That photographer took it for granted, Janice was his wife.
Uh-huh. Well, I can see how he could have given everybody that impression.
Yeah, the loving couple returned to the island. Wife has an unfortunate accident. He can report it as such to the police and collect the insurance because there's no sign of violence. Something he couldn't do with Eileen, who sports a prominent bullet hole. Oh. Wonder what's eating him.
Hey, up there on that cliff.
Yeah, Brooksy, come on.
Oh, God, he does.
Okay, Malay. See if you got an answer for this. All right, fella, go get him.
Hey, that's
got
an answer.
Come on,
I'm a duty.
Come down here,
Denny.
Come down here.
John, man. You killed
Paul. Mr. Wayne. Here, take care of him. I want to see what he intends to do next.
He told me about Eileen.
Yes, I know, honey.
He was going to push me into the ocean. Make it look like an accident.
Hey, wait a minute. Three of you.
You're riding for a fall, Buster.
You'll make another move toward me, and I'll let that women have it first. You know I have no compunction about it either.
Yeah, I know. You're a brave boy when it comes to shooting dogs and women.
Keep your hands on me. Oh, please.
Don't.
Once more, your intrusion interfere with my plans, Valentine.
It breaks my heart.
I suppose the best way to do it, after all, is to get rid of the three of you at once. I think we're going to have another little storm tonight. It's the time of year, you know.
We can do without the weather report.
Oh, yes, yes. The story will go something like this. Despite my urgent pleas, the three of you insisted on taking the boat out into the storm.
Won't you satisfy? You killed my sister. What else do you want?
Of course, I shall be interested in recovering the body of only one of the foolhardy trio. The one the police will accept as my late beloved wife.
Doesn't Miriam Denton understand that she may be next on your list someday? What does she see in you anyway?
She sees in me a man who won't let anything stand between him and his dream. Now, let's go back to the house and make the best of this waiting.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Marcel, get this over with.
In a few minutes, I think we can be ready. Of course, Valentine, I shall have to shoot you and Miss Wolfs. I couldn't expect you to jump into the water at my command, eh?
Why don't you stop posturing?
No, no, let him go on, Miriam. He just wants to show you how much power he has. All because he didn't turn out to be a Clark Gable.
Shut up, Valentine. I'm as good as any man. Shut up!
You're not a man. You're something that crawls.
I'm something that uses his brain, Miss Wolfs. Since no one knows Janice is here, the insurance company will never question a routine police report on my wife's death. We'll be able to do a lot of things with $50,000. Won't we, Miriam?
Yes, you'll only stop talking.
I'm not afraid anymore. I'm just sorry I got you and Claire into this thing.
I'm so glad to see you take this philosophically, Janice.
I doubt if I would have had many more years to live anyhow. Just telling me it could be.
Don't say any more, Janice.
Why do you stop her? What was she going to say?
She was just going to crack a very grim joke, Marcel. And it happens to be on you.
What do you mean? And don't get up. Stay where you are.
No, I feel like walking around.
You know what I'll do if I...
You're not going to do anything. What's more, you're not going to live to spend that $50,000.
Be careful, Marcel.
Something's happened in the last 4 years that you don't know anything about. Something that's going to hang a crepe on that rosy future of yours.
You don't say.
Yeah. Janice has been ill, very ill. Under constant care of a doctor.
What's that to do with me? Now, let's get started. Come on.
Andre Boyard, M.T.
What?
Uh-huh. I thought you'd recognize the name. Dr. Boyard. The best heart specialist in Honolulu.
Of course. The one the ship's doctor mentioned.
What is this?
He more than mentioned him, Marcel. He gave the doctor specific instructions to locate Janice. Very soon now, he'll do just that.
You're lying.
And the picture you were so anxious to have taken, it'll only prove that it was Eileen's twin sister who arrived.
Here. You heard what he said. Look at Janice. There's nothing wrong with her, is there? Is there?
What's up?
You're as good as cook, brother, and you did it yourself.
No, no.
Watch out for him.
Don't let go. Don't let me break your arm. Let go of the gun.
I got it, George.
Yeah. Well, Marcel, what is it now that stands between the man and his dream?
Hey, look, Brooksie, why the purser's office?
Oh, I told you. A friend of mine wanted me to inquire about a honeymoon cruise on the Eudora.
Honeymoon cruise, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Friend, huh? What friend?
Oh, you wouldn't know him. But he has nice broad shoulders. Just about your height.
Uh-huh.
And he calls his girlfriend Angel.
One of those gooey characters, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yes, what can I do for you folks?
Well, we want to find out about a honeymoon cruise. Something in the near future?
Oh, I think we can accommodate you now. Just what would you like?
Well, darling, I just described the potential groom to you. What do you think he'd like?
Yeah. Look, friend, do you have a nice long cruise scheduled for, let's say, 1952 or 3?
No, really, this is some kind of a joke.
Well, please, mister, don't play so fast and loose with my life.
Your pardon.
This is the nearest to first base I've gotten yet.
I think everyone will agree that cutting down the cost of car operation is an economy step in the right direction. And if there's anyone who hears more about budgeting and economizing than a grocer, who is he? Mr. J.W. Hogan of 301 H Street, Bakersfield, California, is a grocer, and here's his statement about RPM motor oil. Quote, I must confess I don't know much about a car, but there's one thing I'm sure of. I haven't had to spend 1 cent for repair since I started using RPM motor oil in 1945. And thousands of other users of RPM, folks in all walks of life, have had the same success with this premium motor oil. For RPM is specially compounded to keep your car's engine clean, to fight off internal rust and corrosion, to keep cylinder walls cool when engine temperatures get hottest. So for protection you trust and the finest wear-saving lubrication, give your car a break by giving it RPM motor oil. Ask for it at independent Chevron gas stations and at standard stations where they say and mean, we take better care of your car. Next week, when the telephone wakes George Valentine out of a sound sleep, you'll hear him saying...
Yeah?
George, wake up!
Huh?
We got a letter this morning you're going to love. Harger is right in the middle of it.
Huh? Harger?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it's something big. I'd like to nail him good.
Well, if you can, it will be good. Meet me at Molly's Cafe, 12 sharp.
Yeah, got it. Hey, you know, Angel, I was just thinking. How nice it'd be to have your dulcet voice wake me up every morning.
Oh, well, I got news for you, Mr. Valentine. That could be arranged.
Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Let George Do It stars Robert Bailey as George, Francis Robinson as Claire. Tonight's story was written by David Fitcher and Herbert Little Jr. and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Virginia Gregg as Smith, Gerald Moore as Marcel Millay, Louise Arthur as Miriam, Jack Cushion as Juan, and Earl Keane as the purser. The music is composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter, your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. Since America began, from all over the world have come men and women of every race, every religion, every cultural background. And into this land they brought a stirring concept, brotherhood. Let's remember that, especially now, during Brotherhood Week. This is the Mutual Darnley Broadcasting System.